Job chapter number 38. And we're going to look at verse 12 through 15 here. But I'm going to kind of focus in on verse 15, but I'm not going to spend the majority of the time on it. So this is going to be a little bit different tonight than my norm. And I think I really felt the Lord just dealing with me a lot this week about the subject I'm going to talk to you about. And it's funny because it was all over my personal devotions, just stuff popping out at me that coincided with Job so much. It was just unbelievable. It's clearly the Lord speaking to me. And so I'm gonna take you to some other verses here in a minute and kind of lay out for you what I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. And so we're only going to get this one verse, primarily this one verse tonight. But I will tell you this, moving forward, I'm going to try to take much bigger chunks. Okay, so we're going to be moving through a lot of verses quicker as we move forward. But just for tonight, I want you to look at verse 12, but I want you to look at verse 13. It says that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. See that? It says it is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Now watch verse 15. And from the wicked, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. I ask you, please, Father, to minister to our hearts. I pray you'd be with my mouth. I pray you'd be with my mind. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I pray you'd use me tonight, Lord. Make me a blessing to the people that are here. Speak to our hearts, God. I really appreciate all those folks that made the effort to be here tonight. Good crowd, Lord, and that's encouraging. It's helpful. But I pray, Father, above all, that they would not have wasted their time having come, but that they would hear from you, that they would get a good meal from the Word of God, that they'd be fed spiritually and leave here, Lord, with some help for their life, that, God, they could be blessed by having been here and they can leave here drawing closer with a greater desire to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, you know, God begins to address Job here, and he's asking Job a bunch of questions he knows Job can't answer. And the point that I'm making and continue to make is we really don't know as much as we think we do. And the wise, smart aleck scientists who say there is no God, they don't know as much as they think they do. A lot of times we like to walk around answering or asking big questions or trying to answer big questions as though we know what we're talking about, when oftentimes we really honestly don't know what we're talking about. How many of you parents have ever had your kids ask you a really good question, and then you start trying to give them a good answer, but you realize, like, man, this is some pretty deep stuff. Has that ever happened from one of your kids? Like, you know, why is the dog different than us? And does the dog remember and have a memory? And do dogs reason? And why don't they reason? And how do we reason? And what makes us different? And you start answering that question, you run down that rabbit hole, and before you know it, you realize, like, man, there's a lot out there that only God really knows for sure. And I'll be honest with you, our human nature wants to know answers. I mean, we want to be up on the news, right? Doesn't it aggravate you when you find out that somebody you knew something about somebody else and they didn't tell you what they knew about them, and you wanted to know but they didn't tell you? And it's like, I feel like, well, in your sinful nature, don't you want to know? Doesn't your flesh want to be up on the news? Don't you always want to have all the answers? I've dealt with more than one man who's, you know, had a bunch of problems in his life, a bunch of things that he could get real help with. But they would focus on one or two questions that they knew were unanswerable, and they would refuse to get the help with what they really needed help with because they were hung up on the one or two unanswerables. It's like, well, what about the people in the Amazonian jungles that never had a chance to hear the gospel? Well, my friend, what does that have to do with your problem? Well, I mean, would a just God actually send somebody to hell that never had a chance to hear the gospel? What about the people in the Amazonian jungles? What's that got to do with the fact that you need help with your alcohol? What's that got to do with the fact that you need help with your drugs? What's that got to do with the fact that you need help with your envy, your strife, your division, your mouth, your cigarettes, your marriage, your children, your stinking dog? What's that got to do with what's going on in your life? But you'll get hung up on the unanswerable questions because it's like, well, if God can't answer this for me, then I don't have to respect Him. I don't have to regard Him. I don't have to listen to anything that He says, because what about that? And here, when God begins to deal with Job, the perfect and upright man, the one that feared God and eschewed evil, the one that he said to the devil, "Have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth." When God begins to deal with Job, after Job went through some things, he started having these problems with God as though, like, this doesn't make any sense, and I don't know why God would allow this, and I didn't do anything, and all this confusion in Job's head, these questions he had for God. And God says, when God gets nose to nose with Job, "I have some questions for you. You answer me this. You answer me this. You answer me this. You answer me this." And none of these questions that God asks does Job have the answers to. And the funniest thing is, you run all the way fast forward to 2021, and you're going to find out that science and man still doesn't have the answers to a lot of the questions that God is asking. Now, that one will stretch your mind just a little bit. So we get down into here and we start realizing that God's got some things to ask Job. God's got some things to confront Job with. And he gets over here in verse number 15, he says, in verse 13 he says, he's going to take hold of the ends of the earth and shake the wicked out of it. And in verse 15, he says, "From the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken." Now what caught my attention is, "From the wicked their light shall be withholden." Here's the application I'm making from that. I don't want to be wicked. I don't want the light of the Word of God withholden from me. There are a lot of things that I have, questions that I have, and answers that I would like to have to my questions. And you know what I've learned? Some of my questions God will not answer, because He's already given me light on other things. And He wants me to accept the light that He's already given me. And when I accept the light He's already given me, then He'll give me more light. But if I reject the light that I've already been given, I repeat myself, and I know that. I'm doing it on purpose. It's not because I didn't study. I'm on plan, on purpose. I'm repeating myself. It is not because if I reject the light that I have been given, it becomes lightning. For example, God tells you to get right. You go, "Yeah, I need to get right." You leave, you go home, you read your Bible a little bit, you come up with some big, deep, dark questions, you start looking at what's going on in the news, you get online because you're interested in the Bible, you're interested in the Word of God, you start looking at some preacher somewhere, and you start listening to what he has to say about cults and about what's going on in the Bohemian Groves and in the government and all the craziness, and your mind starts running, and you start wanting to know the answers to all these things. You start looking into eschatology, and you start trying to figure out if Jesus is coming tomorrow or not, or if Biden's the Antichrist, or Obama was, why couldn't Biden be? I mean, you start looking into all this stuff, and you're wanting all this extra light and all these questions answered, and then time goes by and you never actually deal with what God already told you that you need to deal with, what you got convicted about last. You know what winds up happening? Here you are with light from God that says get right. And instead of getting right, you start running into all these other things, all these other questions. Even, here's the trick, stay with me, even in spiritual things. And the devil gets you all caught up in all the truly unanswerables and deceives you, sidetracks you from dealing with God, what God already told you you need to deal with. You've rejected the light and it becomes lightning. And you know what I've seen many, many, many times is born-again Christians that are serving God, that are in church, that are reading their Bibles, that are praying, that are coming to church in a good Bible-believing church, that get so distracted and sidetracked in all the foolishness that they become fruitless Christians. But they can tell you all about the deep, dark, wicked, crazy things. Let me ask you a question. Does God really want you fully educated on all that is Satanism? Does God really want His child fully educated on demon possession? Is God really concerned with His child being fully educated on whether or not there's cults in the government that abuse children, or cults going on with all these rich people and all these bohemian groves and hidden things and all this stuff going on. Does God really want His children running into all that darkness and getting all buried in their mind and their spirit and their heart with all the conspiracies and all the crazy, wacky stuff? Is that really light from the Word of God? Then why are so many born again and specifically Bible-believing Christians talking more about aliens being abducted, UFOs, devil possession, and on and on it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. They talk more about that stuff than they can talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and how good He is and how wonderful His grace is and how sweet He is and the peace He gives and the comfort He brings and what a blessing it was to be in church and the fellowship of the saints. Somebody got light withholding from them. And while they held the pure words of the King James Bible in their hands, they got tricked into running down a rabbit hole into darkness. That stuff is darkness. That stuff is not the light of the Word of God. That stuff is darkness, and God's people shouldn't be meddling around in it. So I'm not starting a series on UFOs or demon possession or wandering spirits or any of the rest of that stuff. I'm not going to start a series on the Antichrist and all the rest of that. However, when we go through our Bible, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to come across passages that will teach you about that stuff. So you know what we're going to do when we come across the passages? We're going to give you the whole counsel of God. But by the grace of God, when we give you the whole counsel of God, we're going to give it to you the way God gives it to you with the proper amount of balance. Keep your finger here in Job chapter 38, if you would, please. Go over with me to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. You ever notice how the Jehovah's Witnesses that run those billboard signs to get people to come to their studies every year? You ever notice that? You ever see what they put on those billboard signs? A bunch of weird stuff. A bunch of wacky stuff. You know why? Because from the wicked, light is withholding. So when you put up on a billboard sign on the highway and you just put a bunch of darkness on there, a bunch of demonic looking stuff, a bunch of wacky stuff, a bunch of weird stuff, you know what happens? All those that like the darkness, the men that love darkness rather than light, they come running to the darkness. And oh, we were successful. We had visitors. They came. We got them in. Yeah, you got them in with darkness. Why don't you put up a billboard sign like we did a couple of years ago and just did different verses on salvation up there, and we had one family, one couple, one older couple come visit after 5 weeks of running billboard signs with Bible verses on the highways on some of the busiest areas around this area. 5 weeks, I think five different billboard signs with just Bible verses on salvation. One visitor came and they never came back. You know, we could have packed this place out if we'd have put something crazy up there. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of darkness. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what that just told you? Peter just said, listen, I want you to have the grace of God and the peace of God multiplied in your life. You know what's a funny verse that hit me this week? It says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know why that hit me? I worry about my kids. I worry about your kids. You know what you live in a generation of? Sin abounding. And you know, we get all scared to even have children nowadays. I mean, young couples are like, man, should we even have kids in a world like this? It's a great question. I just want my kids to turn out for God. I just want my kids to make it. I mean, I'm afraid that this world is so strong and so powerful now, and the temptations and the lust are so prevalent, and all the darkness is so strong and the light seems to be so weak. I'm afraid of losing my kids to the devil, losing my kids to the world. Hey, you know what? Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That means God gives enough grace for us to get through whatever we got into, whatever we live around, whatever we live in. I think it applies so well in so many areas. Listen, the grace of God is wonderful. The grace of God is powerful. The grace of God still exists. And you and I need the grace of God multiplied in our life. We need the peace of God multiplied in our life. Because it might get crazier this year. Probably not. It was probably all over the election. Probably all going to calm down now. But, you know, they're trying to freak everybody out already by saying there's a new strand of the virus that's even more quickly transmittable and all the rest of this. You know what you need? You know what you need?
Peace.
Peace. What if? Peace. What if Biden lowers the people that are eligible for the good? You said you weren't a socialist. If you don't qualify, God's blessed you that much. Peace. You don't need any more darkness. Don't you need light? You know what God withholds from the wicked? Light. You know what you're going to want to be? Righteous. You know what you're going to want to do? Walk in the light. You know what you're going to want to have? The knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ flooding your heart, flooding your mind, flooding your soul on a daily basis. That's why I encourage you to put good music on in your car. Not the devils in the world. That's why I encourage you to get that in your children's ears and keep it running in your children's ears and running around your home. If ever you wake up and everybody's kind of on a crouchy mood getting at each other, try something. Be sneaky. Turn on some good godly music. Just put it on your phone. Turn it up on your phone. Throw it on the countertop and just let it start playing. See what it does in the mood in the house. What? It's light, man. That's what it is. It's light. I talk about good, godly music that holds up to the Word of God, doctrinally sound stuff. It's light. You know what you need? You need that multiplied. Why? You got exceeding great and precious promises. You know what you won't know? You won't know what those promises are if you're too busy studying all the dark stuff. Too busy worrying about the news. Too busy putting your nose into everybody else's business on social media all the time. You ain't going to have time to find out what God has for you, those exceeding great and precious promises. I appreciate some precious promises. You know why? Because there's been times I sat back, and I'm nowhere near Job's situation, but I sat back like Job in that case, going, where are all the promises of God? Because right now it's not going very well. You know what you need in a moment like that? The light of God to know that God has a great, exceeding, precious promises, and that though right now you might be in tribulation, that tribulation is going to work patience, patience experience, experience hope. Why? Because God's promises always come through and experience the grace and peace of God and the hope of God in the middle of the darkness. That's what you need. You need the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of what it is He's given you. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ. So in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to show you a couple of verses on the Antichrist, and I'm going to show you that in Job 38:15, that thing's a prophecy of the Antichrist. And I'll show you how you can run those cross-references and see who that is. But before we talk about the Antichrist, we're going to surround that with Jesus Christ. You want to learn about the Antichrist? It's all over this world. My kids run into it at school. You run into it at work. I run into it with the guys I train. It's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Well, I believe Jesus was here and He was a prophet, but He was just a man. I don't believe Jesus was actually God. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, just that verse alone, if you just sit back and you just let that verse sink down into your soul. You know what that shows you? What everybody wants in their life, what everybody wants in a leader, what everybody wants on their job, what everybody wants in their bank account, what everybody wants in their marriage, you know what it's showing you? Stability. What everybody wants in the economy, what everybody wants in politics, what everybody wants in church. You know what Jesus Christ is? He is the ultimate foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is stability. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it doesn't matter what's happening in my world. If I got Jesus Christ in my heart, my sins forgiven, my destiny eternally with Him in heaven, I got stability no matter what's going on around me. Verse 9. Here's your opposite of stability. Watch it. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. I can show you some diverse and strange doctrines in the Bible. We will. They're there. I'll show you one that's a little strange tonight. Diverse is just diversity. That's what the word comes from. You know, the King James is so archaic. We just don't even use those words anymore. Like forbearance. Well, you've never bought a house if you don't know anything about forbearance, right? You've heard those terms. Diverse. Well, what does that mean? Is that diverse, like going diving in the ocean? I heard a very highly educated Greek and Hebrew preacher saying, well, when I heard diverse, I thought of diverse. So I got into the Greek and then I realized it meant... I thought, man, you never heard of diversity? What is wrong with you, man? You're so smart, you're stupid. That's not that hard. That's not that hard. That's just a way for me to plant a doubt in your mind you didn't have so that I can make myself your authority because you don't know the originals and I do. It's a trick. It's a trick of the trade. Every trade has tricks. That's a trick of the trade. That's a way for a preacher to make himself valuable. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with... You know what establishes you? You know what strengthens you? You know what strengthens your home? Strengthens your marriage? Strengthens your children? Strengthens your walk with Jesus Christ? Strengthens your church? Grace. Not meats. Not Bilderbergers and Masons and... Not meats. UFOs. The study of the Antichrist. Can a Christian be possessed or not? Blood-sucking angels in the Old Testament. Who's making umbrellas in the millennial reign? That stuff doesn't do anything. You know, some of the closest times we've ever come to church splits has been over foolishness like that. So the Holy Spirit led me to start coming down on that stuff. And when I started coming down on that stuff, the guys that were all about it decided that they were going to leave. And I don't rejoice in anybody leaving. I want to be a gracious preacher where anybody can come back if they realize they shouldn't have left. Just as long as they come back right spirit, with a gracious spirit, that's fine. No bone to pick, no problem. But we ain't doing that because that doesn't establish a church. The heart's not established with getting into the mind of God. All that Calvinism stuff, that highfalutin Christianity where men think he's so smart he understands the mind of Almighty God, you're an idiot. That doesn't establish anything. There's a lot of questions God would have for you could never answer. Never. The heart's not established with that stuff. It's established with grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the goodness of God, not with meats, which have not profited them, that have been occupied therein. Now the Bible does talk about the meat of the Word of God. It talks about the more mature Christians feeding on the meat of the Word of God. Well, I'm going to show you a little bit of meat tonight. It's only going to take us a couple minutes. It's not going to take long. The majority of this tonight is not even about that. I'll show you some meat because you need to know how to rightly divide the Word of truth. You need to be able to recognize the Antichrist, know how that thing's going to fall out, understand what the Bible says about some of that. But you got to understand that knowing that kind of stuff does not establish you. It does not strengthen you. And if you become occupied, you see that? Not profited them that have been occupied therein. When you get occupied in the wrong thing, in the meat, it doesn't profit you. You follow that? I know entire churches, entire church fellowships, newer ones, started a couple years before we started this church, that occupied all their time in trying to prove that the pre-tribulation rapture was wrong and we're going through the tribulation and all this stuff, and they got stuck on diverse and strange doctrines. And you know what's happening to them right now? They're coming apart at the seams. They've done nothing over the years but turn on each other and attack each other. And then nothing but church splits and drama that's posted for the whole world to see. What an awful testimony to a lost world. To watch, and they publicly attack each other. You know why? You don't profit by being occupied in that stuff. We teach that stuff because you got to know your Bible. But for a new Christian, don't get occupied in all the crazy stuff. It doesn't establish the heart. Go to another one, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This may be a little simplistic for you, but I think it's important and I hope it helps. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets. I think we talked about this on Sunday afternoon. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. See what it's for? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying, that's the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You know what we ought to be desiring and going after? The knowledge of God. You know what Jesus Christ said He is? Light. In Him is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's nothing dark about Jesus. You parents ever have your kids get scared? They watch a scary movie or somebody tells them, you know, at school tells them about a witch or something, and they get all like, and they don't want to go to sleep. They're scared. You know what you do? Well, yeah, you don't watch the movies, but it happens to kids, right? They get spooked out. You know what you do? You turn their eyes on Jesus. In Him is no darkness at all. Yeah, no business being in the darkness. Get in the light. Turn the light on. Give them the Lord. Talk to them about Jesus Christ. Say, hey, look, honey, are you saved? Didn't you say you're saved? Yes. Then what do you have to be afraid of? Jesus Christ, who spoke the world into existence, lives in your heart, puts you in His body, and said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. So this is what you can view in your mind. You can lay down, put your head on your pillow. You know what we have our kids do? And they do it too. Put their Bible next to them. You got a loaded double barrel 66 caliber right there, man. You're good to go. And you can put your head down and you can imagine Jesus Christ is sitting right there at the foot of your bed, not letting anything get at you, and sleep in peace. It's a light, man. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, hang on a minute. How many of you think you've got there yet? Any takers? So you know what God wants you occupied in from now until the day somebody throws dirt in your teeth 6 feet under? You know what God wants you occupied in? The knowledge of your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Get to know Jesus better. Walk with Him. Talk to Him. Ask Him to show Himself to you. Please give me light. I want to know You more. I want to walk with You better. I want my prayers answered. I want to know how to pray. I want to pray the way You want me to pray. Just get a hold of me. Just work on me. Please speak to me. Make Yourself real to me. God, let me show. I want to show Jesus Christ to my children when I don't even know I'm doing it. I want to show Jesus Christ to my lost acquaintances when I don't even know I'm doing it. My coach always gets me convicted because he tells new guys, he says, I know you're going to feel like you're choking out Jesus, but you better go ahead and choke Him out because Jesus is going to choke you out. You're going to figure that out real quick. And it always, he's joking because I'm a preacher, but it always convicts me. And I think, man, wouldn't that be great if, and he's kidding around, but wouldn't it be great if lost people felt like that about you, like they wouldn't want to hurt you because God was going to get them because they felt like you were that, you had that much God on you. Wouldn't that be something? That's convicting, ain't it? He's kidding, and he puts me under conviction. The Lord's like, you better work on that. Like, yeah. I wonder why I started whipping everybody all the time. Like, how'd that happen? They're giving up before the Lord kills them. Measure the stature of fullness to Christ. You're always going to be stretching for that. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See it? There it is again. What do children do? They're tossed around. To and fro and back and forth. And now, how long? I'm not trying to be mean, but I got to make an application. Rewind back to last March. Excuse me for a minute. I'm not being mean, but I got to point this out. or I'd be derelict in my duty. Rewind back to last March and look at how a lot of people were acting.
All it takes for evil to prevail is good men to do nothing. Stand up for your rights. We better fight. We're going to lose our rights.
Why aren't they getting up now saying, hey, look, I'm sorry I got off track. The devil tricked me and got to me. Because I was under a lot of pressure just like you were. And I got my eyes off Jesus Christ onto the darkness. And I got to apologize to you. And we're putting our eyes back on Christ and come hell or high water. Come hell or high water, from now on, I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. Tossed to and fro. Why? Because if you start getting into all that stuff, you start getting darkness in. You start letting the world in. You start letting all the what-ifs in. God only knows the answer. Is there a new strain of the virus that is more contagious than the previous one? Yes, for sure. Then you ask the next doctor. No. Do masks work? Yes. Wear a mask. Mask mandate. Save a life. Wear a mask. Do it for others. Oh, masks don't work. The virus goes right straight through the mask. You know how the size of a virus is? You want to know who knows? The one you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know Him. You're supposed to walk with Him. The one that's supposed to be giving you light. The one that's supposed to be giving you peace. The one that's supposed to be giving you grace. The one that's supposed to be making you stable. While the world's being blown around and kicked back and forth and tossed around and tipped upside down, you ought to have a rock that you're standing on in the middle of the storm and say, well, batten down the hatches until it blows over. In the meanwhile, I got my Bible, I got Jesus Christ, I got a good church to be in, thank God for that, and I'm just going to stay on point, man, and we'll see what happens. Tossed to and fro. Boy, there's all kinds of doctrines, man. Some of them coming out with changing how long the tribulation's going to be and all kinds of stuff. Boy, I mean, they're just saying this is it and putting stuff together. And if you're looking into the wrong things and not looking into the Word of God, you're letting a bunch of darkness in and you're getting yourself... You lose your credibility. Because now all of a sudden, since something weird's happening, you change your doctrine. Like the Bible changed that quick. Now, maybe the problem was where you've been walking and what you've been putting your eyes on. Got your eyes on the light, you're not going to be blown around by the wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. Boy, you deal with the sleight of men right now like you ain't never seen it before. Like you ain't never seen it before, man. Does the mask work or not? Don't know. Vaccine work or not? Don't know. They're lying to us. Yep, media's lying. Yep, politicians lying. Yep. Some are telling the truth. Yep, which one? Don't know. You know what you do know? You got the truth if you got Jesus Christ. What do you care about any of the rest of it for? Why does it even matter? It doesn't. You understand that? What in 100 years from right now, what's going to matter? What's going to matter? How much you got to know Jesus Christ right now, that's about all that's going to matter. And He's going to be there still. The rest of the stuff's all gone, man. Don't matter a bit. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Go back here to Job chapter 38. Look at verse 15. Job 38:15, it says, from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. So we know one thing, the wicked don't have light. They don't got it. It ain't out there. And He says, and the high arm shall be broken. Now, He talks about shaking the wicked out of the world. So you know what that's dealing with. That's a prophecy of the future. That hasn't happened yet, right? But the day is coming when God will shake the wicked out of the world. So you know you're over here in a tribulation passage. You're not in a current church age passage. That's not the wicked are shaking out of the world right now. They're getting richer and stronger. They're digging their trenches deeper. They're building their walls higher. Can't tell me they're getting shaken out of the world, but that thing is coming. Zechariah and then Malachi. Zechariah is the second to the last book in your Old Testament. Go over there. The high arm shall be broken. And watch something. Zechariah 11:17. Now, I spent a lot of time tonight talking about Jesus Christ and what really matters. But I told you, I believe in teaching and preaching the whole counsel of God, and you got to look at some of this stuff so you understand your eschatology and your Bible. You understand your doctrine. You got to understand why we believe we're getting raptured out of here before the tribulation period. You got to know why. And if you keep coming to church with a little bit here and a little bit there, this stuff all begins to start taking better shape. The details begin to fill in with time. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 17. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Jesus said the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. See if the wolf coming. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. It's talking about the idle shepherd. Well, verse 15 says, from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Now go to Revelation chapter 13. And there's more I can show you, but I won't get into it now. God actually smacks one of the heads of Leviathan in the tribulation period and uses it to feed the children of Israel when they're running for their life in the wilderness. And we're going to see, if you keep coming here on Wednesday nights, we're going to come across Leviathan. You're going to see who and what he is. He's a seven-headed dragon. God smacks one of the heads of the dragon and feeds that as meat to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3. I'll back it up to verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy, on his heads a mark on their forehead, a mark of the beast. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. You thought that Greek mythology had something on the Bible, huh? Wonder where they get some of that stuff from. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Go to 2 Thessalonians. So here you got in the middle of the tribulation period, this beast gets smitten to death, and he gets resurrected from the dead. He gets wounded so bad in his head and his right arm, he gets smitten, and he dies, and he comes back to life, and all the world worships him. You know anybody else who died and came back to life? What does he do? What does Antichrist do? He shows up, and he sets in the temple of God as he is God. And you know what they all do? They all believe it's Jesus. You know why? Because they've been wicked, not walking in the light. They rejected the gospel. They went through, they got all the opportunity they could possibly have to receive God, and they didn't want God. They wanted darkness. So now they're greatly deceived, and they got all the darkness they could possibly imagine, and they're worshiping the devil, thinking it's Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just a couple more minutes and we'll be done. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He says, I beg you by the coming, not to be shook up that the day, they're not the same thing, is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Sop. S-O-P. Handed to Judas. At the Last Supper. Ain't that interesting? Then you go in the new Bibles and you change sop so that you can make it make more sense. And when you change it from sop in the new Bibles to the different variants that they give trying to clarify exactly what was added to Judas, you lose the cross reference to explain to the church that Judas had the spirit of Antichrist and that he went to his place and that he's coming back. One of you is a devil. You lose that whole connection when you change that one word, sop. Well, what's a sop? Nobody knows what a sop is. That's why God said, don't add to his words, don't take away from his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. It's a deep book you got in your hands. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's here. It was here when Paul was writing. So don't get worked up about it. Oh, this is it, guys. Chill out, man. You ain't read your Bible. Relax. It's been here the whole time. Don't you understand? God has this thing set up so he can come back tonight before we end and be right. And if he decides he wants to wait 200 years, he's still right. And I don't know how that could happen, but I guarantee you if he waits 200 more years, it's because he was right. And if you're living for him, you don't really care. It's all right. You're just looking for it every day and you're hoping it's now. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness, there's the light, of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, watch it, with all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, there's your darkness, in them that perish, because that they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They didn't like the truth. They didn't like the light. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know what he's saying? He's saying they rejected the truth. They weren't raptured out like you were because you believed the truth. You got saved. You accepted the gospel. They didn't want the gospel. They go through and they go into the tribulation period and they're deceived by the darkness. Because from the wicked he withholdeth his light. You know what God's withholding from a wicked world? When they don't want the light of the Word of God, he withholds his light. You know what God will do for you? He's given you the light. You have the light, don't you? You know the Lord. You're supposed to walk in the light. When God gives you light from the Word of God and you reject it, it becomes lightning. He judges you as his child. You know what God does with a wicked Christian? You don't lose your salvation. He doesn't damn your soul. You know what he does with a wicked Christian? He stops giving you any more light. Why is God obligated to answer your question if you aren't serving him? Why does God have to explain to you, why did this happen, Lord? This isn't fair, Lord. If you haven't gotten that thing right, he already told you, you need to get right. Why is God obligated to answer all the big, deep, dark questions that you have about all the crazy things out in the world and all the... Why is God obligated to answer that when he told you to read the Word of God and you won't even read your Bible every day? You know what I have? I have enough light to know that tomorrow morning when I get up, before I get my day cranking, I got to sit down and I got to open up this book, crack the spine on that thing, and sit down and say, all right, God, now take a shot at me, please. I need to hear from you today. That's the amount of light I got. Why do I have a right to ask him for anything else if I don't obey that? You see what I'm saying? Let's close with this verse. Go over with me, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 66, and I'll have you out of here, Lord willing, and a minute or two. Five after. Isaiah chapter 66. I had more places to show you, but we didn't get to them, so that's all right. Isaiah chapter 66. Look at verse 1. So in Job 38, you got a picture there of the Antichrist. But the lesson for you and I is God withholds light from the wicked. And that high arm, God breaks it. If God can do that to something as powerful as that beast that can raise himself from the dead, what gets raised from the dead by the dragon, comes back to life. If something that powerful God can destroy, I think a little bit of the fear of the Lord is good in our heart. I know you're saved, and I'm not trying to make you feel like God's sitting in heaven waiting to bust your head. I've explained that many times, right? Right? So a little bit of balance on it. Yeah, I don't want a whooping from a God that's that powerful. I want to walk in the light I've been given. I want to obey the light I've been given. Isaiah chapter 66, look at verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. Well, how does that work? Molecularly speaking, the heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. Well, how does that work? I don't know if I ascend into hell, thou art there. How does that work? He's God and I'm not. He says, where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? What are you doing for me? The heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. I don't need those bathrooms out there. What do I need that porch for? What's that doing for me? He says, you want to do something for me? Here, do this for me. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God says, you want me to notice you? You want me to give you more light? You want me to give you some answers? Because Christ is the answer, and He's got all the answers. They're in that book. You want me to give you the answers? Here's the guy I'll look at. The guy that has a poor and contrite spirit. You know what contrite means? Brokenhearted. Sorry. Like, have you ever been so wrong and felt so bad about how wrong you were that tears ran down your cheeks? And you know what happens to the Almighty God that could absolutely knock your stinking head off? He could knock your brains flat out of your head. He could crush your head just by looking at you and just, you know, just thinking the thought, and your skull would cave in. You'd be obliterated. You'd cease to exist. And you know what that God does when He sees and He looks at you and He sees that all that power? You understand all that power? And He sees a poor and a contrite spirit. He sees those tears. He sees that broken heart. He sees that sorrow. And you know what He says? You got my attention. I'm here to help you. I love you. I'm going to take care of you. And look at you. Your hands are shaking because you saw what that book said. And you saw my word. You respected my word. You feared my word. You honored my word. I love you. I'll take care of you. I'll give you some more light. No broken arms. Why? Because of the right attitude towards the light of the Word of God. Loving the light. So the stuff's in here. We'll see more of it. Stuff coming up about Leviathan, we'll see more of it. But don't learn to love that stuff. Learn to love the stuff that shows you who your Savior is and draws you closer to Him. And when you see that other stuff, just thank God for all the truth that's in the Bible and leave it at that. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I love You tonight. I thank You so much for the Bible. I thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Thank You for the exceeding great and precious promises. Help us to be a people that love the light, that come to the light, that seek for more light. Give us light, we pray, Father. Answer the questions Your people have if You see fit, Father, and help them, help every one of us to be able to obey what You've already told us. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.